As you know, we're in a series, and the series is called Relationship Nuggets. And as I've been saying over the weeks, it's really aimed at giving small pieces of information that are of value, and that's what gold nuggets are. We said that gold nuggets are not created on earth, they cannot be. Gold can be created on the earth here, but it is very expensive. The cost of creating gold is more than the value of the gold itself. So the gold that people mine and find on the earth are actually deposited on the earth through asteroids and meteorites when supernovas occur. I've said this every week, I don't think I'll say it again. But when supernovas occur up there in space, it flies. Pieces of metal fly all over the place, including gold nuggets, and they are deposited on the earth, as I just said, through meteorites and also through asteroids. And these little pieces of metal, they're small, but they're valuable. So note the point. They're created not on earth, but away from the earth, but they're deposited on the earth and they carry little value. And that's what I'm bringing to you today, this whole series. Well, every week, really, I bring you gold nuggets from God's Word. Small pieces of information, but carry high value in your life and in your living. It's very important. I'm going to stress this today. It's very important because we're going to talk about work. All right, we're coming to that in a moment. We're going to talk about work. It's very important that we not just hear the Word and say, oh yeah, that is true, oh that is good, but that we apply the Word to our lives. Amen? So what we've got to do is now, we looked at wisdom, knowledge, and understanding last week. And what we've got to do is we've got to get the knowledge. You're getting the knowledge here from God's Word. We've got to, hopefully you get understanding. The Holy Spirit will give you understanding so that you'll know how to apply these truths to your life. And then we've got to ask God for wisdom, who gives liberally to every man, to those who ask, the Bible says. So we ask God for wisdom now to apply what we are going to hear today in our work situations. Now we're talking about relationships basically. And today I'm going to get very practical, okay? Because that's what the Word of God is anyway. It's not something that's super spiritual and that's it, boom. It's very practical when we apply it into our lives. So I'm going to give you some nuggets, really. Some tips. I'm going to give you a number of things today that applies to your work situation. So we're going to, first of all, start off by defining work. What is work? We're going to look at work vs. job. We've done this before. We're going to look at why should we work? And this is all going to be from God's perspective. And that's what this series is about. It's about looking at relationships the way that God sees relationships. And so we're going to look today as pertaining to how does God see how we should function in the workplace? Why should we work? Very important for us to know, well, we have to work, but why? Why? We're going to show you that today. We're going to look at keys, some keys for winning in the workplace. As I said, I'm getting very practical today with this teaching. You are getting the Word, and but you're getting in practical areas. So I'm going to talk to you about interview tips. I've got a lot of experience in terms of work as a manager, work as a colleague, you know, work in a non-managerial sphere, work in different areas. I've also have experience in interviewing as well, interviewing individuals as well as companies. When I used to work for BT, I used to interview heads of companies to see whether or not they're suitable enough to be employed by us to do work for us in the area where I work. So we're going to look at some interview tips, and these are only small nuggets, so you're going to have to get other information yourself. Or what you can do is, if you have questions, put them in the question box, because on the last day of this month, I'm going to be answering your questions on this series. We're going to look at conflict at work. How do I handle conflict that occurs at work? Now, we're also going to look, we're going to end really by talking about some work gold nuggets. I'm going to give you some nuggets at the end. So, what is work? That's where we're starting off. What is work? If we can define work, then we can be on the same plane, the same understanding, and we can understand what it is together. All right, this is my definition of work. Work is the progressive order of God for man to find, function, and fulfill his purpose. How does he do that? Through the activation of his hands and feet. You hear me say that a lot. Activate your hands and your feet. Okay? To find, function, and fulfill his purpose through the activation of his hands and feet, utilizing the skills, talent, and time given to him. Now, we all have skills. Some people, I've heard people say, I haven't got no skills. You've got skills. You just need to discover them. We all got skills. We've all got talent. Again, some people might think, well, what's my talent? No, no, no. You have got talent. Find out what it is if you don't know. And certainly, you can't argue with that. We've all got time. So we've got to find out what that is. Now, before I go on to the next screen is going to be a nugget. And the nuggets are, you'll see, it's all one color with a gold nugget by it when it comes up. If I am going to find, function, and fulfill my purpose, I've got to ask the question, what is my purpose that God has given me on this earth? So if you're asking God, what is your purpose? Guess what? God is your source. So you're going to the source, your creator, okay, to find out what his purpose for you is. How you should function here on the earth. And that's what life is about. Because you are not here by accident. Doesn't matter how you came about, you're not here by accident. You're here by God's desire. And so God has a plan for you. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
He's got a plan for you. So my quest, again, you've heard me say this so many times. Our business is to find out what has God planned for me, and to find out what that program is, and to get right there in line with God's plan for your life. Okay? So if I'm going to go to God, then God is going to have some information for me. And I've got good news for you. The information that God has got for you is found in his word. Okay? His word. That's where it is. So the Holy Spirit will direct you to his word, and he will speak to you through his word. That means now, well, let me put up the nugget, because it's a lovely nugget. I like this one. The quality of your intake determines the strength of your output. If I'm going to give out anything of quality, then I've got to make sure what I'm taking in is of quality. Yeah? So if you're taking God's word, guess what? You're taking in quality. Good quality. Does anybody agree with me?
Yeah.
We're taking in good quality. Okay? About what God says about them. So I need to then to make sure that the information that I'm taking in is the right information. Is information that is of good quality in my life. And it is. And that's why God has preserved it over the years for us. So the Word of God, the Bible, is not an optional extra. It is something that we must pursue, something that we must know and become familiar with. Not something that we take up on a Sunday and come to church with, but something that we take in. As I say to you in the past, have a daily gospel. Take in the Word of God every single day, because that's where your strength is going to come from. The Word of God in your life, in your spirit. As a physical man needs food, your spiritual man with the real you needs spiritual food, and that's God's Word. All right, we know this already, so let me not dwell on it. Let me run through, and you've had this before, so I'm not going to stay on it. What is the difference between a work and a job? And that's very important, because a lot of people don't know the differences, and a lot of people are in jobs that they don't like, or jobs that they don't want to be in. But your job is quite different from your work. All right? With your work, you're born to do it. With your job, you're paid to do it. Okay? With your work, it is a gift. With your job, it's a skill. You can't be fired from your work. The Bible says the callings and the giftings of God are irrevocable. You can't be fired from your work, but you can be fired from your job. You can't retire from your work. I just quoted that scripture. Same thing applies. But you can retire from your job. Your work is permanent. Your job is temporary. Your work has purpose, and your job a paycheck. So God wants us to find function in and fulfill our purpose. Why are we here on the earth? What has God called me to do? How should I function? And until then, wherever we may be, some of us might say, well, you know what, I'm in a job, I'm not really functioning where God, you know, with the skills and the gifts and the talents that God has given me, I'm not really functioning that right now. Don't worry about that. Your time will come. And you will know in your knower. Because there are steps and stages, stepping stones in the progression of life that leads to your purpose. And God knows that. And He set it up that way. So don't worry about it. Just keep prayerful. So important that you do that. And keep talking to God about it. And keep believing God. And use your mouth and your tongue to confess the end result. Look. You might not be in a job that you want to be in now. But question, let me ask you this from now. What job do you see yourself in? No. What job do you want? Bring it to God in prayer. Okay? And declare out of your mouth. Speak the end result. Don't wait for the thing to happen before you begin to say anything about it. Say, thank you, Lord, for this job, whatever job it may be, that you are putting me in. And now, Lord, that's not the job anymore. It's my work. Because it's where you want me and what you want me doing. Anybody with, you with me so far?
Yeah.
All right, good. So that's work this job. I'm coming off of that now. So let's look at these. All right, let me just go with the flow. Why should we work? And I'm going to give you biblical reasons why we should work. Because if you were like me, when I used to think that work was a punishment from God. I thought work was Adam's punishment for sin. You know, until I really looked into the Word of God and I saw that actually God gave, I think work was the second thing that God gave to man. The first institution that God gave to man was the home. The Garden of Eden. And the second thing, before even Eve came on the scene, Adam had responsibility. He had a work to do. And God gave it to him. So work is the second oldest institution on this earth. Alright? And it came from God. Alright, the Bible says now, why should we work? We should work to use our time wisely. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. Alright, the Bible says there, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time means spending the time wisely. And you've heard me say, time is more valuable than money. Money once spent can be re-earned. Time once spent is gone forever. You'll never see this time again. You can't get it back. And so it's very important that we use our time wisely. Okay, why else should we work? To provide for your family. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. The scripture says there, I believe Paul was telling Timothy, that if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. If you're not going to work, what are you going to eat for? No. You should work to provide for yourself and your family. Okay? That is one of the responsibilities or one of the reasons why we should work. We should also work because it is ordained by God. It's something that God brought in. Genesis chapter 1, 27 to 28. And Genesis 2, 15. It's developed and it's in God's mind from the very beginning that man should work. And as I said, work came into being before man sinned, not after. Alright, why else should we work? We should work so that we don't become lazy. Proverbs 13, verse 4. And also Proverbs 21, 25. Look these scriptures up when you get the chance. I haven't got the time to do that now. We should also work so that we don't become busybodies. Paul wrote to the Christians at Thessalonica in two of his letters, both of his letters, and he mentioned this. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and also 2 Thessalonians 3:11. You should work so that you don't become busybodies. If you don't have work to do, you become an idle person. And then you put yourself now in other people's business. And that's not God's order. Going into other people's business and doing all sorts of things, saying all sorts of things. No. When you have work, you're occupied and you're focused on something else. Why else should we work? To provide for the necessities that we have in life. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Proverbs 12:14, Proverbs 28, verse 19. We should work also so that we can give to others. That's so important. Because you've heard me say almost every week, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. So we should work so that we have. And these scriptures tell us that actually. Ephesians 4:28, Proverbs 19:17. We should work so that we have the resources in our midst to help others, to give to others. And we should also work so that we can give to the church, your local church. Again, that's God's order of things. Acts 20, verse 34. Mark 6, 20 to 21. And Luke 6, 38. So all this is on the recording so that you can hear it when I put it on the website. All right, so these are reasons why we should work. Some of the reasons. These are nuggets. They're not full-fledged teachings, as I said, from day one. So let's move on to some keys. Now that I've set the foundation, we know what work is. We see the difference between work and job. We see what the Bible has to say about work. Let's dig a little deeper now. And let me give you some keys now for winning at the workplace. All of us, I'm guessing, would have experience of some kind of relationship at the workplace. Now listen to me carefully. When I walked into the job when I was working for BT, I entered in as a clerical assistant. But I went from the time I was interviewed by a couple of head of the level 3 managers they were at the time. I think it was one level 3, one level 4, interviewed me for the job that I was going for. I deliberately started at the bottom. This was me being deliberate. There were other jobs on offer, a clerical officer. I could have stepped in there, but I didn't. I wanted to start at the bottom. And I wanted to get as much knowledge and as much work experience as I can. That was my choice. But from day one, I knew that, you know, when I went there and that interview, I just sat with confidence, not in myself, but with confidence that God was with me. And I knew that God would, no matter what happened, that everything would be okay. And there was such a confidence when I sat in that interview. I've never forgotten that. And the point number one I've got here is accept work as God's gift and not punishment. So when you go to your job, if it's a job, when you go to your workplace, okay, accept it as God's gift. God gave you that job that you're in. We don't know for how long. You may not even know for how long. And maybe you know that it's not permanent. You're going to move somewhere else. Maybe it's a stepping stone, as I said earlier. That's fine. But God gave it to your church. And so don't just treat it anyhow. Treat it as God's gift and not punishment. Ecclesiastes 5:19, Deuteronomy 8:18. For you shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who gives you the power to gain wealth so that you may apply to his a kingdom, extend his kingdom. Deuteronomy 28:1-14. Just read about the blessings there that the Bible talks about as work, as God's gift, and not a punishment. Scripture. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to cast off it. Yeah, I need that one. And to receive heritage. Sorry. Let me read again. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, what does the Bible say? This is the gift of God. Ecclesiastes 5:19. Okay? It's a gift. It's something that is given to you freely by God because he has a plan for you. He sees the desires of your heart and he has given it to you. Whether it's a temporary thing or whether you think it's a permanent thing. God is giving it to you. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Number two, recognize God as your true employer. Something I've always done in my life. God is my employer. Everywhere I've been, God has placed me here. So no matter what difficulties I come up with, because God has placed me here, God is going to be with me. He is going to see me through. He is going to help me through every difficulty. Every challenge that I have, God is going to help me. You will have challenges, folk. And the challenges will come to test your character. And sometimes God allows certain challenges to come so that you can grow. God wants you to develop. And that's how character is developed. Through interaction with others. And I think I've said this in previous when we talked about family last week and we spoke about marriage the first week. God is your true employer. Ephesians 6, verses 6-8. the two verses, Ephesians 6, verses 6 and 7, says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Do you see that?
Yeah.
As to the Lord and not to men. You see, if you're going to treat your job as, or you're going to look at it and say, well, it's your boss, or because of me, why I did well in the interview, why I got that job, or favor that was given to you, even by others, why you got this job. If you're going to look at them as your source, you're going to miss something very, very important. And in times of difficulty and challenges, you're going to be running to them. You're going to be looking to yourself and other sources rather than God. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've had to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, no, you gave me this job, Lord. I'm not moving. I got this difficulty here, Father. But even though I haven't got the answer right now, I thank you for the wisdom that you give. Because you give wisdom, Lord, to help me navigate through this difficult time, this challenging time. So that I can, Lord God, remain who I am, not lose my testimony. But at the same time, focus, Lord God, and knowing behind everything, Lord, behind everything, that you have a greater plan for my life. You got to know that. I was a driving instructor at one time, and I've shared this with you before, but I'll share it very quickly. And we used to collect the lessons in advance, the money in advance for the next week. A lot of driving schools did that back then. I'm not sure what they do now. And I went to pick up this young girl who had already paid for her lesson. And then right at the very end of the lesson, you know, I'm ready to book her in for the next one. And she said, no, this is my last lesson. I said, why? She said, oh, I lost my job. I said, you lost your job? What happened? And you know what happened? She didn't lose her job. She walked off of the job. There was another girl in that job who wanted her job. And so you know what she did? She bullied her. She bullied her. She harassed her and bullied her and bullied her. She's a little young girl, you know. Very young girl. She was in her teens at the time. But I told her off. I said, how do you let somebody else bully you out of your job? But I couldn't take the pressure. No, I said, listen. Where are you now? You've got no money coming in. You don't know what's going to happen. She was living with her mom, so thank God for that. But she's got no... She said, see, now look, you're doing so well in your driving lessons. Now you're going to have to stop because you let somebody else bully you out of that job to have the job that you have. I said, no. You've got to make smart decisions. You can't go on like that, and you've got to change the way that you make decisions. And I spoke to her, and she understood. You know, bless her heart, and I sent her out. So things happen. But as Christians, she wasn't a Christian. We are. We've got God on our side. We've got God who we can turn to and depend on and put our trust in. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So we've got to do that. Number three, don't be a time thief. Okay? Principles for winning in the workplace. Don't be a time thief. Use your time wisely and not for personal gain. So we've got to look again. You see the word wisely? We've got to use the time that we have at work. Don't take it for granted. Now, if there isn't much work and if it's okay with your bosses, do that, man. But, Pastor David, what happens if I finish my work early or quickly? Certainly, it's not a big deal. Well, it may not be a big deal for you, but you've got to find out whether or not it's a big deal for your company. What I used to do when I started working for BT, and I worked efficiently, and I did the best to finish my job, and I did that a lot of the times. I got up and went to the manager, and I said, I finished my job. Is there anything that you'd like me to do? And then sometimes she would have something for me to do. It was a she before him. And then there were other times where he said, well, go to one of the clerical offices. And I did that. I went around to the clerical offices and find out from them, hey, is there anything you'd like me to do for you? You know, and, you know, it's ended up being an office that was very productive, an office that had very good relations. And you know what happened as a result of just me taking those simple things, or taking this simple principle here? I got favor. Favor came my way. How many people know God is a God of favor? And He will do favor in your life, folks. But just make sure that you're using your time wisely. Okay? At work. Don't be a time thief. When nobody is seeing, God is seeing. Now, if your company allows you to whatever, then that's fine. Okay? But if not, then you need to be thinking, you need to be doing things. Remember, you are not representing yourself, you're representing the kingdom. The Bible says, Paul said it twice, you are living epistles known and read of all men. People are reading you. They're reading your behavior. They're seeing what you're doing. When you're thinking nobody's seeing, they're seeing. So you've got to be smart, you've got to be wise in what you are doing. Okay? Ephesians 5:16. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Number four, keep a daily to-do list with established deadlines. Little nuggets. Again, I've been practicing this for years. Years. I still practice it now. I practice it before I was pastoring, and I still practice it now. I keep a daily to-do list with established deadlines. I don't know about you, and everybody's different, but at the end of the day, or at the end of the week, the goals that I've set, I'd like to see them accomplished. So when I look back at the week, I said, yeah, I've accomplished this, I've accomplished that. Now, you will also find that things happen that you need to do that's not on your list. And that's life. That's what happens. What you have got to do is make sure that you are prioritizing and prioritizing right. So that you don't end up being in a situation where you're not doing what actually needs to be done. If I lift something that is mediocre and make it high priority, then I'm placing the thing that is high priority lower down. And it might not get done. And if it's a high priority thing that's not get done, I've failed. So this helps me. Does anybody else do this?
Oh, yes.
Ah, okay, good. So I'm not alone. And, it's something that I see myself continuing to do. I'm using my phone more than paper now to do this. I found a little program with my to-do list. Even my Bible reading. Every single day I get up this morning, I've not done that. It's the second time I've not read the Word this morning before, in a devotional manner, before coming out. Second time this year I've not read it yet, but I will do that before I go to bed tonight, certainly. And I tick off, I write down and tick off, and then I have... that thing that I make available to everybody in January, that sheet, Bible reading progress chart, so that you can see how you're doing. I make it available every single year to you guys. I use one, and I've got it stuck up. Joy's got one stuck up as well, but I won't tell you what's on that. Mine are all colored in. Joy's got one or two colors. She's not here now, so... All right, so Ephesians 5:16 says this, I press towards a goal, all right, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, sometimes you have to press towards your goal. All right, number five, ask God for wisdom during the decision-making process. And I think I'm going to talk a bit more about this, okay, because everybody makes decisions every single day, but when we're talking within the work context now, I'm going to come to that, I think, a little bit more, especially when there's conflict at work. You need to really involve God in your decision-making process, and He wants you to involve Him. Wisdom comes from Him. If you're going to use your intellect to solve every difficulty that comes across your way without God in it, you're going to get it wrong. You may get some things right, but you're going to get some things wrong. So God wants you to acknowledge Him. He wants you to involve Him. And so therefore, there's no reason why we shouldn't. Ask Him. Involve Him in your decision-making process. What does the Bible say? Have I got it there? No, it haven't. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And what will He do? Direct your paths. Proverbs 3, verse 6. All right, James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Number 6, use criticism to your advantage. Don't wait for it. Ask your boss for suggestions and also for corrections. I remember on two occasions when I did this, and I never forget, I went to my level 2 manager at one point, and I did something. He asked me to do something, and he did it. Maybe this is a different point, actually. And I did it, and I never forget when he came into my office in front of everybody, and then he just said, "Thank you, David, for a job well done." And that was not me asking for anything to be done. It was him telling me to do something. But I remember that. And I also do remember going to my managers and asking them for their critique on what I have done. Why? Because I always want to learn. I may not always get it right, or there may be a better way. He's a manager. He's got more experience, more knowledge, you know. And what's wrong with receiving knowledge so that I can learn and develop and grow? God wants you to learn, develop and grow. And so be open and be humble enough to receive criticism and to ask for it. Like I said up there, don't wait for it. Go and ask for it. Because you want to do better. And if he sees that you want to do better, and if he sees you coming to him, guess what? He's going to say, wow, she or he values me and what I have to say. And that's going to be nothing but favor in your eyes. Are you with me?
Yeah. Amen.
Ask for that. Proverbs 18 verse 15 says this: the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks what? Knowledge. When you go to your boss and asking them for critique, what are you doing? You're asking for knowledge. I want your perspective. I want more information from you pertaining to what I've just done or whatever the subject matter might be. All right. Number 7, be honest about your mistakes. Don't hide or ignore them. I think I said last week when I dealt with the family that sometimes, you know, when children do things and they do things wrong, some parents ignore or pretend they don't see. And what they don't realize is that the child most times see that you've sworn and not said anything. For whatever reason. They've seen it though. You're trying to hide it, you're trying to pretend like you don't know, but they've seen that a lot of the time they've seen that you've seen. And they know that you know. But here in the workplace, be honest about your mistakes. Don't go to your work colleague, go to your boss and say, listen, I got that one wrong. Or I didn't spend enough time in this area, on this thing that, you know, on my job, or whatever it is that I was supposed to do. Be honest about them. Don't hide or ignore them. All right? Because at least they can see that you are honest about, you know, what you got wrong. And everybody gets things wrong. Nobody in this earth gets things right 100% of the time, every single time. Nobody. All right, Proverbs 28:13 is a reference up there. But Proverbs 18:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Number 8, keys for winning in the workplace. Do not talk negatively about other people at your place of work. The tendency, I've seen it so many times, the tendency is to get in a group or to get on site. Somebody criticizes somebody and then you get on site and begin to do the same thing. Don't join any kind of group or clique, right? When people are talking negatively about other people, that should not be licensed for you to join in whatsoever, even if what they're saying is right. Don't get into that kind of a mode and have that kind of attitude. Because now you just join them and they become a moaning mini, you become a moaning mini, and before you know it, it's pure negativism that's coming about. And you're doing nothing of positivity to create the right environment at work. You're just creating a negative environment. And remember now, you're Christians. So we're expected to do better. We're expected to set the tone, set the example, set the correct atmosphere. I used to have this little placard. Still got it somewhere, I don't know where, buried somewhere. Great people talk about great ideas. Mediocre people talk about mediocre things. Small people talk about other people. And it's big words, medium-sized words, and then small words. Small people talk about other people. Scripture references, James 4:11, Proverbs 17:11, Proverbs 21:23. James 4:11 says, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are a doer of the law. You are not a doer of the law, but a judge." You've placed yourself now in the position of a judge. And you're not. That's what the scripture here is saying. So don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. Number 9. There's another reason you shouldn't do that. And it's linked to this, actually. Or number 10. Project an attitude of forgiveness, mercy, and favor. Project an attitude. An attitude speaks of your mindset. Project, okay, an attitude of forgiveness, mercy, and favor. James 3:17, Matthew 5:17. But wisdom that is from above, which is what you have, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And that's what we should always project. Always be willing to forgive. Always be willing to reconcile. Always be willing to be the person in the middle, if you like, bringing two different parties together. And I think that leads on to number 10. Look the part of where you are going. Actually, this is a different point. Look the part of where you are going. Forward thinking is important. Dress well. First impressions still matter. Let me give you the scripture references. I'll talk about this a little bit. Proverbs 10:35, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and also Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Listen, if you're in your job right now, and I use that word deliberately, if you're in a job right now because, you know, you want to go somewhere, and you're looking for promotion in that job, your thinking has to be different. You've got to forward think. What does that mean? Look at your boss, if it's his job that you want. Look at how he or she carries themselves. Look at how they talk. Look at their dress code. Look at their mannerisms. You want to get somewhere? Chances are he might be the one interviewing you for his job later on. And he's going to want to see some qualities in you that convinces him that you are at the right place and can do the right thing. You are the right person for the right job. Let's just put it that way. All right? Look the part of where you're going. You can't be talking about, I want a promotion to be a manager, but then you carry yourself anyhow. I want the job to be a manager, but then you're joining into cliques and you're gossiping and you're a time waster and you're a troublesome person. I think I was going ahead a while ago into problem solving. I'll be getting there in a moment with some of these things that's coming in my mind. Look at how your boss is dressed. Dress that way. You want the job, but you're coming in looking scruffy. You're coming in with jeans and t-shirt. When the dress code of your job, everything, you know, pertains to the company you're working for and what they require. So you've got to find out that for your own self. But you've got to think forward. Don't think where you are now. Think where you're going to be, where you want to be. Are you hearing me, church? First impressions still matter. I'll share it with you. We used to, when I was on the PMC here, we interviewed, four of us were interviewing people for the post in there. This is going back years. And there's a board of us. I was on the board, and four of us were there ready to interview people, and we were interviewing people that whole morning. And one young lady walked in, and she walked in with sweaty and with her two bags in this hand, two bags in that hand, and she came in with a big smile on her face and put the bags down and said, "Oh, I just did some shopping. I'm sorry I'm late." What impression? I could name the person, but I'm not going to. One board member, we looked at one another, and we knew what we were thinking. Before she even opened her mouth with one, the first question, she wasn't getting the job. Why? Because the impression that she gave didn't tell us she was serious about this thing, man. And I'm coming to interview tips in a moment, and that's one of the things you don't do. You don't go into an interview with your shopping. Do your shopping after your interview. And don't drink coffee, by the way, before your interview as well. The Because if that coffee should spill or something should happen and you mess your shirt up, you dress up, you're stuck. You can't go into an interview looking like that. It doesn't say a lot of good things about it. Now, Hebrews 10:35, I'll give you that already, sorry. Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't cast it away. Grasp it. All right. So, let's look at some interview tips. I'm going to give you these as quickly as I can. When you go into an interview, folks, and I know some of this is basic, but please remember that you're not just representing yourself when you're going for an interview. You are representing the kingdom of God. You are God's children. You don't want people looking at, is that the way Christians look? Is that the way Christians behave? Is that the way you want them saying good things? Ensure your shoes are clean and in good repair. Make sure your clothes are pressed and clean. Don't slump or scrouch when seated. Why do I say that? You know what? When you sit down and you slump, you know what that does? That gives an aura of gloom and depression. You don't want to send that signal to people that you're looking to grant you favor to be employed by this job. Don't slump. Sit uprightly. Okay, and I think I'm coming to that. And lean slightly forward. I think I'm coming to that. If you wear glasses, use them. Don't squint. You know? If you share glasses, use them. Do not quit. Don't squint, man. Don't be afraid to use your glasses. If you have them, use them. Because it just makes you look ridiculous, and then you read something else, or you misread something. I did that here a couple of times, actually, where I couldn't see quite clearly, and I had to get my glasses on. I think it was last week. I had to get my glasses on to read properly. Don't be afraid to use your glasses if you wear them, okay, during interviews. Use them, man. When talking, make eye-to-eye contact. One of the worst things you can be doing is in an interview, you're being interviewed, but then you're looking all over the place. Well, you know, I wanted to work for this company because it's a lovely company, and I've always wanted to work for this company, and I just thank God that he's brought me here to work for this company. And so, yeah, that's no answer, and that's not wisdom there. So make eye-to-eye contact, okay? Look the person who is interviewing you in the eye and speak to them, because they're talking to you. So speak to them. All right. Wear a smile. It increases attractiveness. Okay? Wear it. All right, let me not say it. Articulate clearly so that you are heard first time. One of the worst things is you know, when you're speaking, you're not clearing what you're saying, and then the interviewer has to be asking you, sorry, could you say that again? But listen to this. If it's vice versa, don't worry about it. Well, what do I mean by that? You should articulate clearly, but if you didn't hear clearly what they're saying, don't pretend. Listen, don't pretend that you've heard or assume what they have said. You might assume wrong. You might answer the question wrong. And they might end the interview and say, sorry, I don't think you're for us. I might tell you right then and there. There's nothing wrong with you saying, sorry, could you repeat that question for me, please? Nothing wrong with that. So do it. Use it. Articulate clearly so that you are heard first. Make sure you know the facts about the company you want to work for. Never go into an interview, especially if it's a different company you're going to be working for. Never go into an interview without knowing something about the company. You know what? A good interviewer will actually quiz you about, well, they will ask you, I'll ask you the question, well, why do you want to work for the company? Or they'll give you more specific questions. When I was interviewed to work for BT, I was asked, well, why do you want to work for the company? And I began to tell them why I want to work for the company. And by then, I could tell them a lot about it. I could tell them the turnover. I could tell them the departments. I could tell them the chairman. I still remember the name of the chairman, Sir Ian Valance, at the time. I could tell them a lot about the company. And I could see eyebrows going up, and I saw them nodding. What am I doing? What I'm doing, really, is telling them that, listen, I'm serious about this job, this company. And I've proven that by the knowledge and the information that I have, which I'm now relaying to you. Know something about the company or the department that you're going to be working for or you want to work for. Ask questions about the company. At the end of the interview, sometimes people will ask you, is there anything you'd like to ask us? Always have a question to ask. Always ask something. Because it tells them that you are interested. Ask them about the department. I was asked this question. I wanted to find out who was going to work with. So I just said, I asked some questions. I just asked them. Ask questions about the company, about the job. It will end up being in your favor. Lean slightly forward. I told you that earlier when I said don't slump. Lean slightly forward when you are being spoken to. It shows interest in the speaker. Your body language is speaking and saying, yeah, I'm interested in what you have to say. So it's important that we do that. So how do we deal with conflict at work? Let me see if I can run through this quickly. Ask, all right, first of all, at some point somewhere, you are going to run into conflict with individuals. Are you not staying for coffee? No? Well, nice having you with us. Thank you. Come again, yeah? No, that's okay. ask questions about both parties. The tendency sometimes is for us to take sides. Especially so if a friend of yours at work is having a conflict with another person. The tendency is to be on the friend's side. But the friend could be wrong. So always play the part of being the middle person. Alright? Don't take sides. See it from the company's view. Alright? Remain impartial. Remain calm. Be diplomatic. Listen to both arguments. Alright? Know when to keep your opinion to yourself. And when not to. There's a time and place for everything. Know when to do that. You don't have to verbalize or voice every opinion or everything that you're thinking. Use wisdom. Sometimes wisdom says, zip it. Keep quiet. Know when the Holy Spirit... Know when is the right time to do that. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Be conciliatory. Did I say that right? Yeah. Be conciliatory. What does that mean? Always be in the position where you can pacify things. Where you can placate things. Always be in the position where you can... You're in that position where you can bring reconciliation to both groups. I mean, after all, they've asked you for your opinion on the thing. They've asked you to help them. They've asked you for your view. So you're involved. So have a mindset where you're always conciliatory in bringing both parties together. That word also means... Alright, different ways in which you can do that. Let me just tell you, I've got it in my notes here. I've got stroke a few egos. Clear the air. These are different ways in which you can be conciliatory. Okay? Stroke a few egos, clear the air, open a window, get them to shake hands, or get them to hug it out. I can't tell you the amount of times I've been in situations like that where I'm not involved, but I'm the mediator. And, at the end, most times I get people to hug it out, man. Depending on the circumstance and the individuals involved, get them to hug it out. Get them to shake hands. You know, what are you doing? You're bringing both parties together, having discussed the issues and dealt with the problem. Okay? Always be of that mindset to bring people together and to reconcile. All right. Very important. Never get personal. Differentiate between the person and their behavior. A lot of people don't do that, and a lot of people get themselves into trouble. You remember I spoke to you about when dealing with conflict, you don't start on the emotional level, you start on the fact level. And then you move on to the emotional level. But this is kind of the same thing. But you've got to differentiate between the person and their behavior. All right? It's two different things. You can, and I've given you a list here, you can critique, especially if you're the boss at work and somebody's not performing well, you can critique their timekeeping, if that's the problem. You can critique their attitude, their mindset is wrong. You can critique that. You can critique the way they do their job, their communication skills. You can critique their focus. You can critique the knowledge, their knowledge of office procedures, their interpersonal skills. You can critique their productivity. If you have a member of your team that's not producing, something needs to be said. Okay? You can do that. What you can't do, let me give you some, it's not on the screen, but let me give you some things what they can't do, what you can't do. You cannot say they are lazy. They're good for nothing. Why? Because it gets personal. Too personal. They're lazy. They may be lazy, but don't tell them that. Find other words. You can't say they're lazy. They're good for nothing. They're ignorant. They're thieving. They're dumb. They're stupid. Because it gets too personal, and what will happen is the person's spirit will close down. They won't want to hear from you or receive from you anymore. Are you with me, church?
Yeah.
All right, I'm coming to a close. I know this is a lot. Coming to a close. Here we go. Finally, what? Let me give some nuggets. This one's for ladies. Aim to be a virtuous woman. All right? A virtuous means intelligent, capable, and good-hearted. Proverbs 31, verse 10 to the end. Always aim to be. Aim to be. Tell yourself, I am a virtuous woman. I am a capable person. I am intelligent. I'm smart. Tell yourself that. Even though you make the silly mistake yesterday. Yesterday is yesterday. Today is another day. I'm a smart person. I'm an intelligent person. I'm capable. And I'm good-hearted. Tell yourself that. Speak and prophesy over yourself good things.
Amen.
Speak it, man. You make one mistake and then, oh gosh, I feel like a stupid person. No. That language, careful what you're saying. Especially if you continually say that. You're going to create that atmosphere of negativity. And before you know it, you believe it. Alright. So that one's for the ladies. Discipline. Discipline is self-imposed standards placed upon an individual to start or to keep them on a designated path leading to a desired goal or a desired end. And every Christian needs that. There's no such thing as a successful Christian without discipline. There's no such thing as a Christian without discipline. You're not a disciplined person, I'm going to question whether or not you are truly a child of God. Because God requires that in your life. There's no getting away from it. The 12 disciples were what? That's what they were. 12 disciples, but they became 12 apostles. The word apostles means one sent forth. But before they could be sent forth, they were what? 12 disciples. Methetes. Learners. That's what that word means. Disciplined ones. Learners. They sat under a tutor. Under someone where they were learning. And we've got to be disciplined ones. We are under God's authority. And we're learning from the people that God has placed over us and from the Lord ourselves. So we've got to be humble and we've got to be disciplined to keep on track towards our designated goals, our designated paths. Discipline is doing what you really don't want to do so you can do what you really want to do. You may not want to do this thing, really, but you're going to do it anyway because you know that it will help you to do what you really need to do. I can't think of any examples, sorry. But I hope you understand what I'm saying here. You know, in life, sometimes there are things you don't really want to do it, but you do it. All right. Oh, God. You may not want to come to church this morning, but you know what? You know that you've got to do it because you've got to come, you've got to hear God's word. And this is where God will have you be on a Sunday morning. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
That's all I can come up with. I'm sure you can come up with other examples, all right? Ecclesiastes 12:14, I put that as a nugget. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing done, whether good or evil. The things that you're doing that you think nobody's seeing, God is seeing. And he's going to bring it into judgment. So pay attention to what you're doing. Make sure you're spending your time wisely. Make sure you're doing what God wants you to do. Make sure you're a proper representative of the kingdom. The Bible says that we're ambassadors for Christ. We do not represent ourselves. I said that earlier. Character V is gift. I choose a person over character anytime. Anytime. Rather than the gift. I don't care how gifted you are. If you've got no character, guess what? You're going to abuse that gift. But a person with no character and don't have the gift or lacking the gift in, they can be trained. The character will keep them where they are and will help them progress. Gifts can be developed by yourself. Character can only be developed through interaction with others. And you know this already. I've said it so many times over the years. Another nugget, your attitude determines your altitude. Attitude is your frame of mind, and it determines how high you will fly. Another one, your attitude determines your approach to things, and your approach to things determines success or failure. If I have a bad attitude, I'm going to have a bad approach to things. And you're going to what? Fail. Result is not going to be good. But if I have a good attitude, a good frame of mind, right thinking, putting on the mind of Christ, thinking the way that Christ would have me, having my mind renewed, Romans 12, 1 and 2, then you know what? If I have a good attitude, then my approach is going to be good because wisdom is now employed. I got the knowledge, I got the understanding. Now God is giving me the wisdom. I'm going to do this thing. And, you know, my chances are I'll have success. Please understand that God never uses anybody he doesn't test. So I'm giving you these things now, and you could be saying, well, I've got the right attitude, I've got the right approach, but how come this is not happening? Please understand that. The timing is everything with God, and God tests us. You want to be used by God? You're going to be tested. You don't want the test? Then you're saying, Lord, don't use me. You are going to be tested. So we've got to say, you know what, Lord? It's me and you all the way. My future. Oh, this is the last slide. Hey. My future. Whatever God must put into your hand must first be declared out of your mouth. Good time. Whatever God must put into your hand must first be declared out of your mouth. Your future is contained in your seed. Your words are seeds. Right? So, let's look at this. Whatever God must put into my hand, whatever I want from God, guess what? I've got to say it. I've got to release it. I've got to declare it. I've got to decree it. I've got to prophesy it. I've got to speak it out of my mouth. You want that job? Then you've got to speak it out of your mouth. You've got to declare it out of your mouth. Everything practically before you might look like it's not going to happen, you keep on keeping on. Especially so if you know that God has told you you're going to have that job. Then you've got to trust God right along the way with everything. Because if that one didn't work out and you thought that was it, it could be that you were wrong. And God had something better in store for you. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Your future is contained in your seed, and your words are seed. John 6:63, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So they're doing something. They're creating something. Proverbs 18:21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 6 verse 2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You're caught by the words of your mouth. So we've got to pay attention to what we are saying, what seed we are sowing in our lives. I'm going to end by sharing a scripture with you. It's not on the board. Write the scripture down, please, and look at it when you go home. Psalm 119 verses 1 and 2. It says this, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Now, when you look at those verses, the blessed person does four things. Number one, they are undefiled in the way. In other words, and they are complete in the way. What way? God's way, God's path, the path he has chosen. They're empowered to prosper. Okay? And then the Bible says, who walk in the law of the Lord, who walk according to God's word. Not according to their intellect, but God's word. And in verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies. And I haven't got time to go into this, and I don't want to do that now. But God's testimonies is what God says about you. So whatever God says about you, That's what you're keeping in your heart. That's what you're keeping in your mind. That's what you're keeping in your whole being. What God says, not what man says. What God says. God's testimonies. Those who keep His testimonies. Testimonies occur in a court. And that's what we're doing here. That's the spiritual implication here. When we come to God in prayer, you are entering the court of God. And God is in charge of that. He's a righteous judge. And God is also the one who brings the testimony, His testimony. God has brought His matter. What He says about the matter that is coming to court is what we say. For example, if God says, the Bible does say that I am the Lord thy God who forgives all of your sins, Psalm 103, okay, and heals all of your diseases. So we walk into the court of prayer. We're coming on the authority of God, and God has already testified that I am the God who forgives you. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, as far as the east is from the west, so has He removed our sins from us. So that's what God has said. He's testified that He has forgiven us. So when we walk into court, we can walk in with confidence. Hebrews 4 verse 12, come before the throne of grace with confidence, wherewith we should know that we receive help and mercy in the time of need. But that verse also says, I am the Lord, that God who forgives all your diseases, heals all your diseases, sorry. So when we come into the court of God and we say, Lord, I need my healing in my body, we can come with that confidence, knowing that we need healing in our body to do the job that God, or work that God wants us to do. We've got to be whole in our bodies. Are you with me, church? So I'm saying to you, look at that verse, study that. There's so much more I could say, but I'm not going to say it now. Come to God, man, and believe God and say, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to put my trust in you. And I thank you for the provision for my life in Jesus' name. Everybody, could we stand on our feet if you can stand? As you stand on your feet, just bow your heads right where you are. And as you're bowing your heads, I'm just going to ask you. But first of all, has anybody got any work situation? Come forward. And we're going to pray for you. You need wisdom of God to in this work situation that you're in. Maybe it's a problem at work. Maybe you're even looking to change jobs. Maybe it's a promotion that you're looking for. Maybe it's a business that you're looking to start up. And you want God to help you. And you want to bring about the God kind of change in your life. As you're standing here, I want you to just come forward. Come forward, and I just want to pray with you right now. And we're going to believe in the name of Jesus that every hindrance, every barrier is going to be broken down in Jesus' name. Some of you may be having problems at work, and you're questioning now whether or not you should leave. And I'm going to say to you right now, you do not leave that work situation unless the Lord tells you to leave in Jesus' name. He's the one who placed you and given you that work, that job, where you're at in the name of Jesus. Are you with me, church? All right, so we're going to believe God. We're going to really, really believe God for everything that He is doing, whatever the problems may be. Okay? So, can we stand with our hands like this, okay? Ready to receive from God.
Amen.
We're just ready to receive from God. Listen, I may know of some of your situations. I don't think I know about everything, to be honest. All of you, but God knows that's what's important.
Amen.
Here this morning. And I'm saying to you that God loves you. Please get this, man. God loves you. Don't let your negative situation, if it is one, cause you to think negatively. God sees and He knows where you're at. And I know, Leona, you spoke about, you shared with him in the prayer meeting, the job that you want, and how much you want.
Yeah.
And so forth. Do you think that's too big for God to do? Really sure?
Yes.
Of course it's not. It's not. Jeremiah said, is there anything too hard for you? Of course there isn't. God can and will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. You know the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Joy and I were coming up this morning, I quoted that scripture, we were talking. What are we talking about? And we just were just talking and laughing, and that scripture came up, and here it is again. Man, delight yourself. Don't go to work with a Monday morning blue with things over your face. No, delight yourself. God has given you the wisdom that you need in the situation that you're at, at your workplace. He sees and He knows everything. And God will bring about change for you. Believe it.
Amen.
You're in a growing time, a growing experience. And God is going to bring you through in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Folks, can I ask you to come? The rest of you. Come and stand behind these folks. Stretch your hand over them. We're just going to pray for them this morning.
In Jesus' name. All right, bow your heads, close your eyes. Whatever the situation is, I want you to picture right now Jesus Christ and picture him helping you in that situation. Whatever it is, your God is bigger. And he's able. And I can tell you stories right now, what I want, of where God has, what God has done for me personally through the years because of my trust in him. Father, I just lift up your precious people before you. Come on, let's all pray. I lift up your precious people, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, because there is nothing that is unseen by you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your word. We've seen so much today, Lord. Because few things that have been continued to, Lord God, your ability, our God, to do great things in the midst of your people and for your people, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, that, Lord God, promotion lies ahead for some of us, Lord. And God, you want to elevate your people and place them in areas and in places, Lord, where they can be an influence, an effective influence, Lord. Father, we come against every frustration of the enemy that we want to force us, oh God, to make wrong choices, wrong decisions based on circumstances. But no doubt, what is one of two things, Lord? It's either, Lord God, you bring about a change, Lord, and your purpose, Lord, in that office environment, Lord God, or, Lord God, you remove the influence in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, if it's your will, Father, that you can talk about, that is it. But Lord God, we lift them up before you now. And whatever the situation, Lord, I pray that you move. Oh God, I must pray to you. We pray that the windows of heaven will open over their eyes. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that the ones that have gone into the courts of God, and that, Lord God, that we say, Lord, you said that we should bring our strong business before you. Father, you said you will supply all my needs and continue, Lord. Father, you said, ask and we will give it. Seek and we will find. Not when heaven's doors will be open. Lord, you said that you specialize in making a way out of no way. And so, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you will break down every hindrance right now, every barrier, everything that stops, Lord, the blessing of your people. And we thank you, Father, for the outpouring of wisdom that you give, oh God. As we've seen, Lord, you said you give every man who asks liberally, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that, oh God, you will just flood the minds and the hearts of your dear people, Father, with the wisdom of God from above, and that you will lead them and help them and teach them how to navigate, oh God, through these rocky waters, Lord, into the rough seas, Lord, of this troublesome time, Lord God, this trying time, this time of uncertainty, Lord. And I pray that you bring them, Father, in the name of the Lord, into the place, oh God, into the position, into, Lord God, work, the job that you have for them, Lord God. And we give you thanks, Lord, because, Lord, Lord God, your word says that you have a good plan for us, a plan to see us prosper and not come to any harm. And so, Lord, we're standing here today, and Father, your dear people, Lord, have not forced anybody here, Lord. They've come forward of their own free will, and they're standing, Lord God, before you, Lord. And I believe, Lord God, they're saying, Lord, we put our trust in you, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for leading and for giving us, oh God, the strength, the tenacity, the patience, the courage that we need, Lord God, to go through, Lord Jesus, whatever it is, Lord, and to bring us, oh God, to the desired end that you have for us. And so, Lord, thank you that, oh God, and we just declare right now, it is well in Jesus' name. It is well. It is well in my life. It is well in my finances. It is well in my job. It is well in my work. It is well in my business. It is well in Jesus' name. God will lead, and God is leading, and will bring me through in the name of Jesus, because I put my trust in him. Your word says, Lord, that, Lord God, those who put their trust in you will never be ashamed. And so, Father, we thank you that we can rest now in your promises, Lord. And we can say, Father, not our will be done, but your will be done. Thank you for your leading. Thank you for your strength. Thank you, Lord God, for every good thing that you are bringing into the hearts and lives of your dear people. We give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Now, can we raise our hands and speak to thank you? Thank God. Speak to thank you. Thank you for that job. Thank you for the wisdom that you give. Thank you for the progression that is bringing into your life. Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord God, for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It is our portion in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, and we give you all praise. In Jesus' name. Thank you, precious name. Amen. Before you take a seat, I've got one more thing to say to you. You're going to be aggressive. We're in warfare. I think I've said this every single time I've taught this. And it's one of the things that the Lord wants me to let you know. You are in warfare. The enemy ain't playing games. Right? And whoever he can rise up to come against you, to stop you getting that promotion, to stop you progressing at work, he will use and he will do that. Have your spiritual eyes open. And remember, God is with you. He will help you and bring you through to victory in Jesus' name. But you've got to be aggressive. You can't be laid back. You've got to be aggressive. The kingdom of heaven is suffering violence, but it's the violent who take it by force. So you've got to be adamant in your spirit and in your words. I am blessed in the name of Jesus, and I will overcome, and I will be seen through, and God will see me through, rather, in everything that I'm doing, and God will bring me to the desired end that he has for me. In Jesus' name. Because that's the God that you serve. Your neighbor don't look convinced. Turn to them and come and help me, please. Turn to them and say, hey, it is well. It is well. You're safe. You're going to be okay. In Jesus' name. Praise God. God bless you. You can go back to sleep.